Blog Talk Radio.
On air. I'm high on life. You have no idea. The greatest day ever.
How was your day, Miss Jules?
It was fantastic. Had a wonderful day. Didn't y'all have a great day? It was a beautiful day out today, wasn't it? Oh, nice.
Yeah, I felt great. Nice. I definitely did good.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm going to expect us to tell everyone out there what tonight's topic is about.
Please
so
do.
I know, isn't it suspenseful? Oh, my goodness. Here we go.
Ooh.
Now, with TV and society waving in our face that young forever is in, it's no wonder that plastic surgeons are almost as rich as Bill Gates. But is looking like a Barbie doll really healthy? Seriously?
Okay.
So that's our topic for tonight.
That's
so
right.
Before we get into that, Ms. D-Fly is going to take over for a moment.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, to help us with this topic tonight, we actually have a very special guest from last week, who is Randy Rizzo, a.k.a. Rizzo. He's here with us tonight with our during our trial hold period to find that fourth and final member of the Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh crew. So let's welcome Rizzo to the show. What's up, Rizzo?
Hey, what's happening, guys? How are you guys doing?
Hi. How are you doing, Randy?
Oh, I'm doing great today. I'm doing great.
Basically, to get things started and kicked off, last week we wasn't able to really get to know a little bit about Rizzo. So, Rizzo, take maybe about 1 to 2 minutes to just tell us a little bit about Rizzo or Randy Rizzo, what you're all about, what you're doing, what's going on, the good, the bad, whatever. What's up?
Let's see. I'm living in New York right now. Recently, I lived in Naples, Florida, but I'm originally from Taylor, Michigan, a whoop-whoop petite town. I'm out in New York right now. I'm about to go to school at the Institute of Recording Arts. It's over in Manhattan, but. Other than that, I'm just I'm getting a job and working it out here, having a good time. Still a lot to learn about New York, actually.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good luck with everything.
That is awesome.
Yeah, good luck with everything.
Yeah, I'm trying out here. I mean, I've been traveling for the last 3 years, so I'm just finding out new things to do, like this talk show, actually.
That's right.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, all right. So, we're going to get into my weekly motivation. Here we go. This is Miss Desire on the topic tonight of motivating people to feel positive and happy. So today I'm going to talk about, this is your lucky day. I want every day for people out there who are feeling down, who don't have a job, that no matter what, you're lucky. You want to know why? Because you have your health, you have a roof over your head, you have friends, you have family. People come in every day and they complain. Well, let me tell you something that I'm quoting from Joe Osteen. When you complain, you remain. When you pray, you were raised. So, you know what? Every day be a lucky day. That's all I have to say. And I hope you liked what I have to say today.
Okay.
Nice of you.
Yeah, very quick and very easy. I like that.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, everybody, if you have any, if you ever like to call in, please feel free. We love all to hear from anybody all over the Tri-State area, East Coast, West Coast. Please feel free to call in to 646-200-3136. And also, you can follow us on Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/realhotandfresh. So, now back to the topic, everybody. So what do you think about this you know, plastic surgeon. Like, I mean, why does everyone have to look like a Barbie doll? Why does society look at celebrities and go, I must look like them. I must transform into them. I mean, I don't get it. What is people out there, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Because, you know, we need to know why everyone is upset. And does everyone really need to look like a Barbie doll? I mean, people, these plastic surgeons are so rich. They're as rich as Bill Gates. Like, that's just absurd to me. So what is everybody's thoughts? I mean, co-host, like I said, everyone out there, please feel free. Comment on Facebook. Call in. We would like to hear what you have to say. So go for it.
Well, I think, you know, I just think it's sad because, you know, a lot of people, they do think that, you know, staying young is forever. And just like I know people, like one of the things that they really forever makes me upset is whenever I hear people in their 30s and they go, like, oh, you know, I'm old now or, you know, I'm through. You know, I just hate that like, society has it to where, like, 20 to 29 is, like, your life. And once you're over 29 and you're in 30s, you're dead or you're extinct. I mean, so many people in their 30s, they feel like that. You know, I mean, you see all these celebrities, they get on Botox. Anybody happy about how they look no more? People are not happy. They're getting Botox in their face. You know, they're trying to keep their skin smooth and this and I mean, I just think it's just sad whenever you see people like this. That they're not really happy with how they look. I mean, and then you got to keep this stuff up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's not like you just inject it one time and then stay like it. You know, you have to keep it up.
It's like inflating a helium balloon, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's like
so forth.
Mm-hmm. It's like continuously inflating a helium balloon, but you're inflating your body with botulinum oxide. I mean,
it's
chemical. It's no good. I mean, like, everybody sees, like, Catwoman and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we got a call.
Hello?
Okay, from area code 252, you're on Keep It Real Hot and Fresh. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
I'm doing good. Hey.
What's your name and where are you calling from?
Christine, I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay. Cool.
Awesome.
What's your name? I'm sorry.
My name is Christine.
Hi, Christine. So, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, I really think that it's really like a psychological issue when it comes to the whole body image, and I really believe that Hollywood they play on people's insecurity. And they know that no one wants to be ugly, and they know that a lot of women are afraid of getting older. So what they do is they present these doll women from television who, if you take off the makeup and you remove all the implants, they look no better than the average woman, but they present these women as if this is what you should look like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
and most of the time they probably look worse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Randy, you got a good point. You see those celebrities before and after? Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the average female celebrity when they first entered into Hollywood, a lot of them were bigger. They weren't fat or ugly, but they weren't as skinny as they ended up being.
That's true.
After a year or so, their boobs get bigger, their lips get bigger, their butt get bigger. And
don't they get lighter? Oh, my goodness.
I mean, to hear that they take the, like they say, I've heard people say that they took, like, the fat out of their butt and put it into their lips. Like,
That's so sick.
They're desperate.
Why?
I think they should take it off their lips and put it in their butt.
Yeah.
Another caller.
I have another call. Christine, thank you for hold on, okay, Christine. We have a call from the 240 area code. You're keeping it real hot and fresh. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Hey, caller, what's your name?
My name is Chad.
Hey, Chad, how are you? Welcome to the show. We're actually talking about plastic surgeons and, you know, how, like, people, they feel like, you know, like being like young is forever in, looking like a Barbie doll. you know, what are your thoughts on people who feel like they need plastic surgery and Botox to stay looking like what society think is, you know, looking young?
I really don't know.
Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'll call to listen.
Oh, okay, you call to listen. Okay, well, let's start. We're gonna put you back on listen mode.
Very funny.
We're gonna put you back on listen mode. Thank you for listening. Okay.
Yep. All right. So, Christine, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So yeah, no, I was gonna say that I actually work with a plastic surgeon, but I don't work with him every day. So, you know, we have these patients, and he comes in twice a month. I work with four doctors, and he's one that comes in. And this lady, I remember she's constantly, she must be, like, in her, I don't know, 40s, 50s. And she's like, oh, my God, I'm, like, you know, I have to have it. It's like a drug. I feel like
yeah.
if you're getting Botox, you're addicted. You know, you're addicted to the point where you can't stop. And this doctor, I'm not going to mention his name, but he charges $800.
Mm.
And you can imagine $800 to get shot in your just the forehead area, and that probably literally takes I would say 10 minutes, $800 in 10 minutes. So, you know, like
that's
you said, they charge a lot of money, and I think it's
a
total
beautiful.
Ripoff.
Isn't that the career?
Yeah,
that's
I don't believe in it
for
at
a
all.
Career.
I mean, but you know what? These they really should be thanking a lot of these celebrities because it's the power of, I guess, perception. If you look at television, if you're 40-something year old, and you're looking at this, you know, like Angelina Jolie or one of the older women, and they look, like, extremely hot, they pay so much money to look that way. They have professional
it's
trainers.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're looking at these women, and you're trying to identify with them, but you really can't because they have the means to get what they want as far as their physical
Exactly.
Appearance.
Exactly.
I like that. I think people in society are in denial. You really think that these actors and actresses really look that way? No.
No.
Of course not. We know the powers of makeup. Makeup is something else. And plastic surgery is something else. There's all kinds of tricks that people can do. Now they have the one-stitch facelift. $5,000, one stitch, 10 minutes. You're able to walk out like nothing happened. 10 years younger, 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and it's beautiful. But you know, but like the thing about that is, you know, kind of like what everybody's saying, it's like who's actually pretty? Because you know, the makeup makes them look glamorous and pretty, but once you take it off, they're looking like a ghost. For example, I mean, look at Oprah. Have y'all seen Oprah lately without my makeup?
Mm-hmm. Oh Lord.
Uh-huh.
Look at all the celebrities, the before and after they show them without makeup. None of them look glamorous. You know, it's like that song by Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, but
you know,
Do you think they doctor those pictures too? Because I think they doctor those pictures too. You know, the pictures that we see. You know,
Photoshop is a genius.
We know that they Photoshop everything, and they can give you a spray tan with a computer.
Yeah.
Anyway, they can make your eyes a little smaller, a little. You know what I mean? But I know that with makeup, everything is superficial. You have to have a foundation of beautiful for you to look beautiful with makeup on. Makeup isn't just going to do it for you. If you're an ugly person, it's going to show through the makeup. We saw Omarosa. That was makeup right there. You saw Omarosa. Everybody saw it.
Wow. I just think, you know, and again, even in the magazines, they airbrush it. So they don't look like that either, you know? So they
exactly.
hide everything. So, Randy, what do you think about this, Randy? I mean, I'm sorry, Z-Fly, for Jim. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, it's all right. But I think, like, you know, with the movie stars and everything, they don't really need to, you know, keep on trying to look good because, you know, most of them, you know, already do. But I do understand, like, you know, some of the people, like, you know, in high school, they felt self-confident and things like that. And maybe that would be some type of pickup for them and for their self-esteem, you know. You know, put them back on one of those Jenny Jones shows, Look at Me Now or whatever.
But
I want to know, does anybody personally know anybody who does Botox? Because I would like some feedback on that.
Have you heard of someone that does Botox?
No, well, not personally. But I wanted to, before we get too far, I wanted to comment on what Rizzo just said. Okay, Rizzo, you just said that, like, you know, as somebody in high school, maybe it would be pretty good, you know, for them to kind of pick up this stuff as thing. But then at the same time, you know, they're in debt in their face, you know, looking younger, looking smoother, whatever. But then at the same time, even though they might get more attention, isn't it like fake attention? Because before nobody liked them, and now all of a sudden, you know, you look a little smoother. So for me, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, what I want from fake attention or what I'd rather for somebody to be real with me. Because, I mean, you know, you are right, though.
You are right, because then there's those people in high school that, like, you know, didn't look good in ninth grade, but 10th grade, oh, my God, you know. And they start with the fake attention. So, I mean, their confidence has to be already, you know, pretty strong, you know, to go through something like that, procedure.
I think you have to be daring to even dare to do something like that to yourself.
Yeah.
You're
definitely
daring to go underneath the knife. I mean, like, some people don't go underneath the knife because they need back surgery and they're afraid, you know, they have to amputate something and they don't want to. They'd rather die, you know what I mean? But these people are willing to just go under the knife to do it just because of vanity, just because they're insecure with something.
Shallow.
I think it takes
shallow.
A lot of, I think it takes,
what?
Actually,
you know
I don't think
it.
It's shallow. I think it takes a lot of nerve and I think it takes a lot of gall for you to do
and
that.
Courage.
Openly.
Yeah.
Openly.
Yeah,
I think it takes a lot. I think you have
courage.
To be you have to be a courageous person. And if, you know, you feel that you can handle the consequences of taking that kind of risk, you know, like Heidi Montag, who did like 10 surgeries in one day. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, like, I thought she looked fantastic, but what's going on there exactly?
I don't know. I mean, but you see, here's my question, too. I've met guys and I've asked them, would you prefer a woman with, you know, who has implants, or you prefer a woman who's natural? And of course, I've heard both stories. I heard one guy, I've heard guys say, oh yeah, I don't care, let them get implants. Oh yeah, better for me. And then I've heard guys say, nah, I want them to look natural. So,
definitely.
You know,
I guess it's all about preference, right?
What do you guys think about that? Everyone too. What is, you know, so again, feel free to call into us, because I would like to know, you know, call 646-200-3136, and also comment on Facebook, www.facebook.com/realhotandfresh. So what do you guys think about that, as well as everyone else out there?
And then also, let's see, is our caller Christine still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I was
trying to say something, but y'all
were
just going. Okay,
I'll
let them go ahead.
What do you guys think of that? What do you think about the girls with? What do you think about that?
This is what I think. I try to be as honest as I possibly can about these situations. I know sometimes it's easier to look at the celebrities and say, you know, and really criticize them and ask why would they do something like that. But I think back, you know, for myself, in high school, in middle school, I just think about being teased relentlessly by some of your students about how maybe you have a big nose, big lips, big butt, fat, and that's something that someone would not let up. Now, picture that magnified tenfold, and you on a front cover, you can't get in a bathing suit without any, like, I've seen on the front cover magazines where they're, like, circling their cellulite and all the areas they need to work on.
Isn't that crazy?
And the girl's flat-chested. Oh, my God, you look like a boy. That's so
that's
cool.
That's insane. And I think it's a person's prerogative. Don't you think it's a person's prerogative to fix that if they wanted to?
My thing is this, like I was saying. My thing is, when you see that on the front cover, and that is very humiliating, that is deprecating to someone's self-esteem. And like the Heidi Montag, like that girl, she was saying how people call her ugly. This is the thing. Before she got plastic surgery, they call her ugly. They said she looked like Jay Leno. They put her down. Then she went through extreme means. They debased her. Then she went through extreme means to change her look, and they still put her down. So it's like, you know, cursed if you do, cursed if you don't. You know? So it's
true. Didn't they break up or something because of all the 10 surgeries?
It's a bit publicity. But my whole point is that when it comes to image, Hollywood or the media, per se, they play on people's deepest fears and their insecurities. And so anytime someone goes into a plastic surgeon's office and says, and hands me a picture of Beyonce or Jennifer Lopez and say, make me look like her, you know, what is that? And at the same time, those same celebrities probably feel like victims themselves because they can't be who they are. They can't go in the public without being criticized. How many times have I went on, you know, a Yahoo and people are making ugly comments about these celebrities? So it's a repeating cycle. And so I think it's important for us to understand the psychology behind all of it. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. But listen, I mean, we appreciate your input and everything, but we have to get to Miss Jules because she has to do her fresh off the plate now. So, you know, but I am sad. Thank you for calling in and all your input. It was great. No problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much,
Christine. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so Miss Jules, it is. I'm trying to introduce Miss Jules to do her.
Wait a minute. Actually, first, we got to pay some bills first. We got to pay those bills. We're going to pay those bills first, then we're going to get your friends off the plate. You know what I'm saying?
Bills.
All right, y'all, this is Keeping It Real and Fresh. We're going to pay some bills, and then like Ms. Desire said, we're going to get fresh off the plate. And also, whenever we come back from the break, we have another topic that I would desire to tell you all about. But we will also be answering the Facebook question from last week's show about if a child is too young, and then they feel like, you know, they just have to get out of their parents' house. Should they, you know, just be allowed to leave without any fight? So we're gonna answer those Facebook questions. All this is coming up after the break. So back to Ms. Desire.
All right, that's it. All right, so we're gonna go pay some bills. See you guys in a bit.
Bye.
It should not come as a surprise to anybody that escorts around the country are tuned in to how the media cover our work and our lives. It may, however, come as a surprise to some that sex workers in many sectors have something to say about it. They have insight, they have analysis, and they have outrage. Bound Not Gagged is our way of responding to the injustice and hypocrisy that keeps sex workers' voices muted and faces hidden. Sex workers may be in hiding, but they refuse to be silent. At Bound Not Gagged, you will get an inside look at the true inner workings of this mysterious business. The Desiree Alliance is a proud sponsor of this project. Remember, www.bounotgagged.com.
All right, welcome back. You're keeping it real high and fresh with the livest host on the net. But right now, it's time to keep it freaky fresh with our girl, Ms. Jules. Let's see what she got fresh off the plate. What's up, Ms. Jules?
What's up, everybody? It's Ms. Jules, the hostess with the mostest, all up in the thing, bringing you your weekly dose of juice, fresh off the plate. So did anybody see the MTV VMAs last week? I thought they were pretty uneventful. Did you guys see it?
No, I didn't watch it. No.
No,
compared
to all the other years, it really wasn't big. It wasn't, you know, like, you know, when Madonna kissed Britney, it wasn't, the stage was fantastic, but it wasn't anything glamorous. I think Usher did his thing, but I think Lady Gaga, she just totally stole the show. And she didn't perform, which is crazy. And she stole the show because she wore a meat dress. Cow meat, raw meat.
Are you serious?
And it was fantastically strategically placed. I mean, to the point that when I saw it on television, I thought it was some kind of velvet brocade, some kind of print or something, some innovative something that she got from somewhere. And it was actually meat. I want to say a work of art, because that's got to be art to place all those time cuts in such an order. So it was.
Oh yeah,
by,
I seen a picture of that.
Yeah, it was designed by Frank Fernandez. It's not the first meat dress, but it's, you know, gathering a lot of talk about it and a lot of speculation just because she wore it. You know, is it art or is it grotesque? You guys, let me know. Anyway, I think Sarah Palin is going to try absolutely anything to have her face or at least a toe in television, regardless of what the cause. I think Palin needs to have a seat somewhere, okay? Because tonight, Bristol Palin makes her TV debut on Dancing with the Stars. I don't know about this, okay? I feel like this is a publicity stunt just so that Sarah stays consistently in the public eye, which scores paid interviews and sponsorships and more. So that's just what I think. But anyway...
Wow.
But anyway, did you guys hear about this woman named Bethany Storrow? This woman, they had an article about her in the New York Post and now everywhere because she claimed that a black woman came up to her and said, "Hey, pretty lady, want something to drink?" Then splashed some acid on her. Exactly. That's what I said. I was like, oh, my God. All the pretty girls, beware. There's some kind of maniac out there. And then the truth comes out. Bethany's injuries were self-inflicted due to inconsistencies in her story. Now, I was able to go to NBC.com and see pictures of Bethany before and after, and I can't understand as to why she would screw up her own face because she was a beautiful woman. And then not only that, be a white-appearing person and then blame it on a black person. You know what I mean? It's such a racially sensitive climate. And then to give a sketch and everything, I mean, this poor woman named Leanne Johnson from Vancouver went into hiding just because, you know, she looked like the sketch. So she didn't want to get in trouble, so she went into hiding. I just can't get my brain around why she would want to do that. And anyway, in other news, you remember I told you about Paris, right? Paris Hilton went ahead and pled guilty to cocaine possession because a small bag of cocaine fell out of her purse. She lied to the police officers that saw it. She resisted arrest by saying that the purse that it fell out of wasn't hers. And you're telling me still that she gets probation for a year with a threat of probation of... forgetting that and just putting her in prison if she messes it up. I think we've heard that before, and I think something needs to be done with that. And on Lindsay, I talked about her last week. She hasn't even been out weeks ago, and she already failed a court-ordered drug test. And then she wants to put up a tweet talking about she regrets she failed, addiction is a disease, blah, 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 blah. I think they put her in the best rehabilitation facility. I think maybe she needs a little bit of harsher punishment. You know, maybe she needs to be more embarrassed. You know what I mean?
Throw in jail.
I know.
And now she's broke.
I know. I mean, like, what's the point? And then since we're talking about criminal behavior, I regretfully have to let you guys know T.I. might be going back to the slammer, y'all.
No.
Sad day for the king. And I don't understand why he would do it. I don't understand why. Why can't T.I. just stay out of jail? History repeats itself again. And did we see that and hear that already? When him and Tiny were arrested during the routine check, now the parole officer is saying that the air in the car smelled like marijuana smoke and that he had opiates in his system and codeine. It, better yet, said he was drinking some scissor while he was in the car. Why couldn't he just drink his scissor in his mansion and drink and smoke whatever he was smoking, you know, at home? I mean, and who gets opium anyway? Oh, my goodness. And then Buju Banton, oh, my goodness, he done got T.I. too, trying to buy 5 kilos of cocaine from a police officer in Florida. If he's found guilty, guys, he's punishable by life in prison, and he starts trial now. He's been in jail for 8 months already. Isn't that crazy?
Very.
Very. And then one last thing. I see England. I see France. I see Joan Rivers' stocking cap, and ironically, you see it on Joan Rivers' infomercial for Great Hair Day, a hair parter that she's promoting to darken your roots when you don't have time. I guess she didn't have time. You know, she just threw on a wig, started flipping her hair around, and wham, stocking cap on national television, which is crazy because Joan is on the fashion police, along with her daughter, criticizing everybody and their mother. Two words, Joan, wig blue. Wig the loop. Okay? Okay.
Wow.
But anyway, special congratulations to Kelly McGillis, who just married her girlfriend in New Jersey court. Congratulations to the little diva Willow Smith for an awesome hit with My Hair. Everybody check it out. It's, people are starting to even say that she sounds better than Rihanna. Okay? Go Margaret Cho for rocking on Dancing with the Stars. Good job. And it was the most entertaining Viennese waltz I've ever seen in my life. It's such a boring dance. Let her live, guys. Let her live. And anyway, that was your weekly dose of juice. Fresh off the plate. Keep it locked right here, y'all. Keeping it real hot and fresh. Mondays.
That's what it is. All right, everybody. So this is your boy, Z-Fly. I'm going to go ahead and now, if you remember last week, we were talking about the topic about, you know, whenever a child is too young and, you know, whenever they feel like they're being pressured and, like, their parents is always in their business, you know, should a child be allowed to just, you know, leave home, you know, at 15, yeah, at 15, 13, you're real young. So what we did was we posted a Facebook question because we love to hear your comments. The Facebook question was basically when a teenage child feels like they are ready to leave their parents' home due to need of privacy, should parents just let them leave? So some of your thoughts was we have from Taraka Payne. She said, nope, he's still a child. Okay, then we had another chatter, Craig Martin. He said, no, because the teenage years of a child's life is the most important. The impression the parents reflect upon the children determines how they kids will look at life. For example, if I were to give up my child as a teenager, he, she will remember how easy it was for me to give up on them. Therefore, it allows them to act just as careless as I did with their own life. True. Desiree Coleman said, no, because the child may go out in the street and mess up his or her life. There is much out there, and things are so easy to get into. Jay Christopher said, I say they shouldn't until the child is legal to stay on their own. So those are some of our Facebook comments. Last week, I don't think that we were able to get your comments, Rizzo. So what are your thoughts on that? Is Rizzo still there?
Randy?
Oh, did we lose Randy?
Oh, guess so.
Rizzo, Randy, are you there? Okay, well, while we wait for him, what are y'all thoughts? Because now there is one more person. I mean, I know we got your thoughts last week, but, I mean, like, what do y'all think? Because there's, like, one more comment I want to get to. I'm trying to find it. But as I look for, well, I mean, what are you saying? I know it's Jules. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do y'all agree with those people or what?
No. I think at 18, the child is legal. At 18, it's the child's choice if they want to stay or not. You can kick, holler. You can beg, you can do everything, but if the child really wants to leave at 18 years of age, they can go. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And then they can call the cops on you if you don't let them get their stuff at 18 years of age. So really, hello, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but you said 18, but how about younger than 18, though?
No, younger than 18, I don't believe in. Younger than 18, you fight for. But at 18, they can make a decision on their own, of their own recognizance. And if they want to come and if they want to go ahead and leave your house and they want to come back and get their stuff, they have every right to do that. And if you don't allow them to do that, they'll call the cops. And the cops will go ahead and come in your house and stand there while they get your stuff, and you can't say anything. You know what I mean? But for a child that's 17 and below, you can't just kick a 13-year-old child out of the house. You get a PIMS petition. You go to court. You get some counseling. And if all else fails and they decide at 18 years of age to leave, that's not your fault. Then they're going to have to just learn hard knocks. They're just going to have to learn hard knocks because you can't shelter them forever. You can't keep them forever. And they're not going to want to be kept forever. You know, there are some adults that want to be in their mommy's and daddy's house forever. There are some adults that are 30, 40, 50, still in mommy's house, you know, because either their family, you know, supports it or, you know, something went wrong. You know what I mean? There's some people that want to stay. Yeah. But there's other people that at 13, 12, whatever, do everything in their power to get out. Even get in trouble, anything.
Right,
real quick,
Rizzo, did you have anything to add to that, real quick?
Yeah, actually, well, when I was 17, I moved out of my parents' house, and I moved to my girlfriend's house, which is kind of crazy because her parents let me. But yeah, like like, you know, my dad, he was, I mean, as soon as, like, the other parents said it was okay and stuff like that, you know, her parents, you know, he was all up for it. You know, my mom was kind of iffy about it. But then I stayed and lived with my girlfriend for, what was it, about almost 5 years before I, you know, I broke up with her. But I felt like I was like, married, and I felt like I was on my own, basically, because, you know, they weren't my parents, and her parents were a lot more lenient than mine. So, mm-hmm. I mean, but I know a lot of kids that moved out early, and their parents didn't care or didn't try, you know, and that's the part that really messes me up, because I've seen them, you know, later in my years. I'm 26. I've seen them when I was 19, and some of the things that they were going through were probably way more tougher than what they should be, you know, even if they're having kids and all that. So, I mean, it's a real iffy situation about that. I mean, it's really about, it's in particular to who the person is, you know,
mm-hmm.
really.
That's true.
And then we have one more Facebook question, and then we're going to get back into the show. But
yeah,
I mean, not the question, but
comment. Yeah, we're going to get back to the topic, yeah.
So the last comment, which is very good, I say this for last, but it was so good, and it's actually, I think it's by Christine, it says Christine Fonville, it could be the one that called in tonight, but she said, heck no, the parents shouldn't just let them walk on out. If they're underage, of course, parents should always give their children a measure of privacy and to be respectful of their child's individuality and space. But they should never give them so much privacy where they can pretty much build a bomb in their room or garage and no one suspects a thing. However,
wow.
And then she says, however,
the privacy. How much privacy do you give your child? And then when you give them that much privacy and they start running the streets and you can't get them back under control. I'm just saying, when they're 18, you don't have to deal with that anymore. If you done did the pins petition, you did the therapy, and these people are like the Unabomber, that kid is like the Unabomber, they can go. If they choose to leave, they can leave.
That was crazy.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a 12-year-old. You know what I mean? A 12-year-old, you care for. You know what I mean? A 13-year-old, you care for. A 17-year-old,
right.
You care for. But if your 18-year-old is telling you, listen, you know what? I'm leaving. Happy trails, baby.
And then she says, however, if adolescent is adamant about leaving, assuming they are at least 16 years old, they should be made well aware of the dangers that are waiting for them, as well as what it costs to live on your own, and the people who will readily take advantage. Somebody just popped up. Who will take advantage of them if they find themselves in desperate need? I will also like to add, if the child still decides to leave, always keep an open door for them so they will not feel ashamed about returning home if the going gets tough. This will eliminate the last resort actions so many you submit themselves to in order to make it in the cold, cold world. Okay, so that's the comment. All right,
so we got 17 minutes left for the show, and I wanted to get to the other topic. So everyone, here's the other topic for tonight. What if you're an overweight person that takes up two seats on public transportation? Should they pay for two seats? So what does everybody think about that? I personally think they should.
Oh, you think they should?
Yeah, I do.
Why
I do,
is
because,
that?
Because I feel like, you know, every time I go on a train, there's
uh-huh.
like always this one big person squeezing in there, and like you're like stuck there. Like, you're like, I feel like I'm in
trouble. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and on a plane, you know, plane seats are really tiny. So, yes, I do believe personally. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not, you know, against, like, people. I understand some people don't, you know, they can't, it's genetics or whatever, but I'm sorry. I think you should
pay.
Well,
then if it's genetic, so then why should they pay more? You know,
well,
that's like saying,
said,
you know what, that's like saying, you know what,
they,
you know what, you're ugly, pay extra on the train. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's a genetic defect. How are you going to say that?
I disagree.
It's a genetic, I mean, like, there's some people that have thyroid problem and they just have, you know, big parts. I mean, like, I don't agree at all.
I feel like they should pay for two seats, so.
This should just make bench seats instead of having the, you know, individual, you know, measurements for people's butts. You know what I mean? You don't know
that's
how big
true.
Someone's butt's gonna be.
That's true. They
I
should
mean,
have a big enough
skinny girls,
seat. You know,
I know skinny
range
girls with big butts. You know, I mean, so
well,
I think it should just be a bench.
extra fare for having extra, you know, love. That's not cool. That's not cool. I don't think.
That's why we all have a different opinion. I mean, I disagree. I think they should pay for two seats. You go on the plane, you take up two seats, and then I'm squished there. Come on.
Oh well, here we got a caller.
Yeah, we do.
Well, let's see, caller 240. Do you have any comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead. What's your name?
I think they should have to pay for two seats because who wants to sit
outside
that's taking up all the space? And when you pay for a seat, you want to be comfortable and ride comfy for the duration of your flight or train.
Finally, that's right.
I think on an airplane, maybe. But seriously, how long are you going to be on the train?
I mean, who's really comfortable on the train?
Shouldn't they accommodate you with a wider seat? That shouldn't be their fault. It should be the companies that provide them with the type of hospitality that they need. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there should be bigger seats, maybe a fat person section. No, I mean not like that, but an area where there's not a divided seat. You know, just a two seat bench or something like that. You know, I mean
Amtrak has. Amtrak has upgraded their seats. But it's just still that when somebody wants to throw their legs, like gag their legs open, and they're taking half of your row, that's just, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to ride four hours, and I got to sit like I am in a little bitty box.
I heard they're making the seats. They're making the seats like smaller.
What's your name?
What's that?
Chad.
What's your name? And where are you calling from?
Maryland.
All right, good. Finally, someone's on my side because I'm getting all like, you know, over here like I'm the bad one over here. But like I said, we all have our own opinion. That's my opinion.
But no.
Someone agrees with me.
Well, Ashley, that's fantastic, but I do think
that if you're just lounging. Okay, that's purpose. That's on purpose. All right, you pay extra because you want to lounge. But I think if you're just, you know, big boned at it, or if you're just bigger than most people, I don't think you should pay extra. You know what I mean? I really don't think they should be able to accommodate someone who's bigger. You know what I mean? I really do. I think they should be able, with all the money that we pay, they should be able to accommodate a bigger person. You know what I mean? But I do not believe that they should just, you know, pay extra, and then imagine how humiliating that's going to be. So is there going to be a ticket agent, you know what I mean, fat pregnant woman, hey lady, you have to pay extra for your seat, you know what I mean? That's really embarrassing.
We said overweight. I'm not talking about anybody taking any pounds. I'm talking about anybody who takes an extra seat.
I'm not getting mad. I'm talking about anybody that decides to put their foot up or something. You know
the
what I mean?
Why Did I Get Married?
Oh yeah.
Where she had to get up because the man was complaining, but that man was big himself.
Mm-hmm.
That man was not. He wasn't small like me. Well, I'm small, but he wasn't small. I mean, he was big. Not big as her, but he was big. But why he didn't have to pay two seats?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good example on that.
That's very true. But they do
bring yourself a seat down when you have to get up and go walk off the plane because you can't fit in the seat or someone on the plane.
Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be?
For many people, especially in the
U.S. of A., where the average size is a size 14. Can you imagine how embarrassing
I've been on the train many a time, and I've seen people who weigh 300-400 pounds, and it's just, they're taking up the whole three seats. And it's like, come on. And you want to squeeze in there? You really want to squeeze? And you're overweight. I mean, I can't sit like that. I mean, like I said, maybe it's, you know, being on a plane is longer than any being on a train, but I want to be comfortable. If I'm paying $2.25, $2.50, $3.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was thinking, you know, when people are coming from like the beach or something like that, and they got a card, and they got, you know, they have a little refrigerator, they got this, and they got that, and they got 50 million children. that, you know what I mean? This is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about somebody who's just lounging, you know what I mean? But if you're talking about, like, specific weight, I think I wouldn't do that just because it's just not tact. It's not tactful. I don't think so. And I don't think it's tasteful either.
Well,
I don't think it's tasteful.
I'm not backing down on my opinion. I definitely feel
Me neither. Me neither. I just don't
think it's...
I'm thinking about the M.
I'm like, this is your guys' point.
No, that's you. That's you. But I'm thinking, like, you know, like, when you go on the LIRR or maybe the AMTAC or something like that? Like,
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, back. That's funny. No, but, I mean, it's a touchy situation because, you know, I'm new to the New York subway and stuff, and I don't like it when, you know, a big person won't, like, you know, slide their leg over a little bit. It seems like they, like, try to, like, you know, get more room when I sit in between.
Or men.
People.
Or dudes that sit with their legs wide open. Have you ever had that happen to you?
I've seen women do it, too. And I've seen women do it, too. And then on top of that, I've seen women, you know, this is wrong, too. You're putting your bags on the seat. You don't want to know.
Exactly. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that you pay.
Putting your feet in the seat. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's wrong.
They take over the whole thing. I see people who take those two-seaters, and they just, like, they take the whole thing. I'm like, excuse you, what do you, like, live? This is your spot? This is your,
I think that's wrong. I think for that you should pay an extra seat. But I think that if it's not your fault, you know what I mean, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? I mean, like, if you put your purse in the seat next to you, I think you're wrong. You should pay extra for that. If you got your cart right next to you, you should pay extra for that. You know what I mean? If you have, you know, like, a whole bunch, like, kids, they're free. You know what I mean? They take up seats. You know, for that, you should pay extra.
And
pay
like,
50 cents or something. You know,
yeah,
pay
and
extra
like,
for that.
And like, some people,
you know,
they have, like, bicycles and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, like, there's a lot of people that have, like, a lot of health issues out there that, you know, wouldn't take it lightly to be removed from, like, an airplane or, like, why did I get married, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was a sad one, actually. I felt really bad for her, honestly. I was watching that movie. I was like, damn.
That's messed up, isn't it?
It is.
That is messed up.
You know, it goes back and forth. It goes both ways. You know, people are evil to each other. I mean, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, that is
very sad. Yeah, but you don't have to condone it. I don't have to condone being mean to somebody. We don't have to go with it. It doesn't have to be, it's all right. You know what? Let's all hate on this person. I don't think that's
right.
Cool.
No,
I don't have to do that.
That's not right at all. No.
I'm sorry, but we need to cut this conversation because it's 9:32, and
right.
We need to get to Z-Fly's 10 Ways to Get It. But before that, Z-Fly, you need to take over, so go for it.
Yeah, and I want to thank the caller. Are you still with this caller?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for... We're talking all over here. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, and be sure to keep it raw and fresh every Monday night, okay?
Thank you for your feedback, definitely.
Yes,
okay,
bye.
Right. All right, y'all. I tell you, this is really some serious topic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, they're scary.
It's very scary, very real, hot and freaking fresh. But everybody, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. As y'all know, Ashley, we should have said this in the beginning of the show, very sorry, but if you was tuning in to listen to the interview with Daniel Beatty, so sorry, Ashley, he had to reschedule, he has business to take care of, but we are trying to reschedule an interview with him again, so sorry, we're just not saying it now. We should have said it in the beginning. But yeah, but hopefully you did enjoy this show tonight, and we will try to have Daniel Beatty, the actor from Through the Night, on the show very soon. But also, as you know, we had a very special guest tonight, Rizzo. He is he's in the trial host here, trying to be that fourth host. But before we get into 10 ways you get up, Rizzo, tell our listeners why you should be the next Real Hot Fresh host.
Well, I think you guys should give me a chance to be the next host because, I mean, once I actually get, plugged into, your guys' talk show and stuff, there'd be a lot of things that actually, like, I could spark up and debate about. I mean, I could see that there's inner fights, with different topics and everything already, and I just want a piece of that. That just seems, like, so cool. I feel like still, like, one of the callers that, like, kind of still listening and trying to put my, put my two cents in when I can, but man, I mean, you guys have talent over here. I mean, this is the end of the
thank you.
I mean, I'm seriously infatuated with this show. I love it.
Oh, it's that's nice. Awesome.
Wow. CDS, 2 years, 2 years strong. We're doing something right. Thank you, Rizzo.
No problem.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, Z-Fly. We're going to get to 10 ways you know you ghetto. So, Z-Fly, take over.
Exactly, and also real quick, listeners, also remember, if you did enjoy Rizzo tonight, be sure to hit us up on MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter to let us know.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, that's right. It's all about you. Exactly. All right, y'all. But we're gonna go ahead and end this thing with 10 ways you know y'all are just plain ghetto. Y'all know how we do. All right, y'all. So here we go. Number 10. You know you ghetto if you set out a 3-piece spicy chicken dinner as bait for your rat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
See,
no.
Y'all think. No. Yes, they do. Because let me tell you something. Rats, pigeons, they eat chicken, okay?
No.
Yes, they do. Number 9. Either your pet cat is ghetto or really healthy if it will only drink soy milk.
That happens.
That really happens. It does. I guess. It has to.
Really? Come on,
yeah. Number 8. you know you ghetto if you have an outstanding credit card bill of $750 and you continuously keep paying at the minimum payment of $20 each month. Now, I mean,
pay your bills. Can you pay your telephone?
Number 7. You know you ghetto if you continue to go to your doctor and act like a bat out of hell just so he can keep prescribing you that free prescription so you can go out and sell it.
Oh. Yeah.
Y'all know.
That's not even right there.
That's not funny.
I think that one just gave a tip to some of your listeners or something.
Okay. Number 6. You know you ghetto if you continue to wear your socks with the toes and heel out. That's my mama. I'd be like, mom, will you just throw those socks away? My mama will wear socks until there's no more thread. I'm serious. Number 5. You know you deep in the hood if you can physically see roach droppings.
No.
Yeah. What does that look like? You're in Crown Heights, ain't you? Number 5.
That's not right.
Number four, if every time you stop at a stoplight or a stop sign, your car cuts off, ghetto.
Oh, my God. That happens?
Yes. Number 3, you know you ghetto if you are teaching your pet monkey to pay your bills. What?
Monkeys? No.
Who wrote that? Number 2. Why are you setting mouse traps for your roaches?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. No. Drum roll, for the number 1 reason.
You know your grandma ghetto if she sits around and rolls joints with you and your boys.
That's a good movie.
Grandmama, no.
I think I'm not a grandma to that.
Oh, wow.
That would be funny.
That is messed up. All right, y'all, but that's keeping it real hot and fresh. Keep it hot next week, and we're going to leave you with James Flame's Heartfelt. Until next week, y'all, we are out of here.
I'm Mr. Zaya. Ciao for now.
Have a good one.
Homeboy, I'm right. hot look. She got that get right, and I got that young buck. I mean that cash money, I got Obama chain. She asked about my pimp skill, I said they long range. I'm thinking out the box, 401k to stock. I got my feet unlocked, they say I am the block. That means I am the street, heavyweight and you petite. You looking like some food and starving as I be. You know where I'm from or what I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some can do hell, but hell is where I f***ing live. You know where I'm from or what I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some can do hell, but hell is where I f***ing live. You know where I'm from or what I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know I know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some can do hell, but hell is where I f***ing live. I let her lick the rapper and there was no one after. Chitter chatter, I feel like it's a bladder. You know how I do it, so she creeps me through her teeth. Be slowing all afternoon, slamming bones like we domino. That ain't nothing slick, through a can of wood, I'm over. Never messing with a bro, cause that's a no-no. Never running with a fake clip, cause that's a no-go. Only f***ing with a real n***a, that's for sure though. Get it so fast, they gotta run it back in slow-mo. Thank God for replay, so now it's first down and go. I'm pushing rocks like waste, so I can see why you hate. And I'm still on the campaign to run the state. What I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some go through hell, but hell is where I f***ing live. You know where I'm from and what I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some go through hell, but hell is where I f***ing live. You know where I'm from and what I feel and what I represent. Haters keep on hiding cause they know they talking shit. Let me stack my shippers, I get money, you get 50 cents. Some go through hell. Stepping through with a swag, like who that? I can even help Dallas see the room back. I can turn the elephant man into a smooth man. Like a box of homies, they don't always find me on track. Weak rappers playing about to fall, and I get mad. I try to flush your head down the toilet, and I'm always on my block. You moving that word? You the type of face should be on a t-shirt. Anyway, let me get back to doing my thing. My name may be Flame, but I hustle and I bang.
The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que te ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. With 227. The person you have called is unavailable right now. Please try again later.
La persona que te ha llamado no está disponible en este momento. Por favor, intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2. With 227.